This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Gemini, an air sign, good time for flowering plants. Sidereal outlook, moony Gemini, barren and dry, and yet good for promoting flower growth. Well, of course it's good for promoting flower growth. It's a waxing moon. And that's it for both the alternative and the traditional weather outlooks. We're going to be speaking with Sarah Farahat and Jenna, other students. I hope they get other students on the line from PSU and talk with them about the movement to pressure companies to divest from any investment in Israeli companies. This was a tactic that did have a tremendous effect when people were involved with tearing down the apartheid regime in South Africa. And many people have pointed out that the situation in the in Palestine is very much similar, and in some regards, perhaps even more dire. It's a very small area. These are the West Bank and Gaza, small areas. The Palestinian people, when they are under bombardment, let's not forget that the Israeli Air Force is a massive, powerful Western machine with limitless armaments at their disposal. It's a virtual ongoing year-round trade show for American war weaponry. And it is being deployed against a civilian population packed into a small area. There are no bomb shelters. When the bombs start coming in and the mortars are flying, there is no place to run. There is no place to hide. Families describe, they just sit and wait. Parents hold their children and wait. We will be speaking, in fact, to Jenna Sada this morning from PSU, an organizer with the students who are doing yeoman work, phenomenal work, getting the word out to Americans who either willfully or whatever other reasons haven't taken the time to understand the situation and have bought the official line of the Palestinians being, the terrorist sort of thing, couldn't be further from the truth. As soon as we can, we'll have Jenna on the line. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with us. I'm delighted to welcome you to the KBOO Airwaves. It's the 65th anniversary of the Nakba. It seems that the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement has taken on new life and been invigorated by student participation. And I hope that we'll talk with you, and we'll also be speaking with Alana Krivok-Hoffman. She is, of course, with the We Divest Coalition, and works a great deal with students at Columbia and others. Places on the East Coast. So anyway, in Portland, what's going on? Why is TIA Craft is such a convenient target for the divest campaign?
I think one of the main reasons why TIA Craft is such a great campaign to work on is because you can connect to larger TIAA craft campaigns in other cities and other states and all that. But also with regards to students, universities invest or usually have their retirement packages connected to TIAA craft. And so this is a great way for, students to get involved and sort of pressure and organize with faculty to, divest from TIAA craft. And so I think that's sort of one of the best campaigns to sort of connect to, because you can connect to ones that are happening in your own state as well as outside of Oregon.
Right, sure, they're everywhere.
Right.
As far as sanctions, I know that's and we can talk specifically about the divest campaign. But with regard to boycotts and sanctions, a boycott is a relatively low-level personal way of supporting the Palestinian people. When one goes into shops, and there's the Middle Eastern section of the shop. And there are options. Very often you can choose something that is made in Israel or something that is a Palestinian product. And this is something that that pretty much anyone can do. Can you give listeners some idea of products that one might avoid and others which one might want to purchase in support of the Palestinian economy, such as it is? Basically, it's managed by Israel in a rather brutal way, but nonetheless manages to function. But what can people do?
There's like a lot of food products. I can't think of anything off of the top of my head, but I know there's like a lot of biscuits, some like kosher wines and all that. But like I think a great resource for figuring out what you can and or what you could boycott, I guess, is I think it's Who Profits, and so I think that's a website run by an Israeli woman, and they sort of like list like all these products, but also locally there's a PDX BDS coalition, and they've sort of compiled a whole bunch of research on food products that you can boycott, as well as alternatives, if you regularly buy that product but you don't want to support the occupation and all that. They have a really solid list of products and alternatives that I think you can find on their website, which is pdxbds.wordpress.com.
Jenna, hang on a sec. I want to bring in another voice from the East Coast. Many listeners remember, I think it was on Monday, Alana Kriwa-Kaufman was on. She won't be joining us, but Cinder Seif will be with us in a moment to talk about actions going on with Columbia and some other universities on the East Coast doing exactly the same thing. This is the We Divest campaign. Good morning. Ziva, are you there? Be there in a minute. Anyway, Jenna, that's small things that individuals can do. We'll be speaking with Steve in just a moment and find out what's happening on the East Coast. As far as actions taking place around the world, a lot is going on in occupied Palestine today. Apparently, the Israeli army invaded Jenin. Big mistake on the 65th anniversary of the Nakba. But then we're talking about basically thuggery here, so we don't expect it to be subtle. We have Cinder with us now. Good morning, Cinder.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today. Cinder, you are with We Divest, and we're also speaking this morning with Jenna Sada at PS, Portland State University. Good morning and welcome. What's going on out your way on the East Coast with the recognition, the acknowledgement, commemoration of the Nakba today?
As a student at Brooklyn College SJP, on campus, we are working hard to spread awareness about the Nakba week, about Nakba today, and because the Palestinian narrative has been hidden and censored for the past six decades, while Israel Zionist narrative has been dominated the landscape all across the world, especially in the U.S. companies. So we are around on campus letting everyone know about today and why it's important.
So there is so much that Americans are unaware of. After the Sabra and Shatila massacres in 1982, the Israeli army, that was under Ariel Sharon, I believe, in which their Falange proxy that murdered over 3,000 unarmed Palestinian men, women, and children. Get this. Newsweek featured an article entitled "Israel in Torment." In other words, although Palestinians were again on the receiving end of the most savage violence to come out of the conflict, Newsweek thought the most newsworthy topic pertained to so-called dissenting Israelis. And we have this going on even today. Apparently, a reporter was invited to represent Palestine by Al Jazeera, the only Palestinian, on a panel of Israelis talking about the Nakba. That's absolutely mind-boggling. Either one of you, Jenna or Cinda, would like to talk to tell listeners anything else. We're short on time. Go ahead.
I know for me, being a student leader here at PSU, I'm just going to give a shout out for Super. If any PSU students are listening, please stop by our table today in the park box. We are also commemorating a Nakba today and with having signs of all the villages that were ethnically cleansed. But I also encourage any student who's listening to come and get involved with our organization, because we do amazing things and we need students, to get involved and, help, continue to show the history and the occupation of Palestine, through student organizations and being able to educate our community and our students.
Cinda, thank you so much for that, Jenna. Cinda, any final thoughts for you, from you?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And also, we should educate ourselves to join Palestinian solidarity groups such as SJP. We have over 150 chapters across the U.S. Three support the BDS movement, which was used to help to end the apartheid in South Africa. So they should definitely join some solidarity groups and educate themselves and be active. Also, for more information, they could join they could check out brooklynsjp.com for more resources and news about Palestine.
Thank you so much for that, both of you. I very much appreciate you taking time from obviously busy lives to join us today. And I want to encourage listeners to go out and find out what has happened and what is continuing. Go to the International Middle East Media Center's website and read the news from the ground. This is ground, political ground truthing, and it must be done. It must be done. Otherwise, this kind of violence is going to continue for the foreseeable future. This has been Erkes Kadia for Wednesday, May 15th, the 65th anniversary of the Nakba. Kurt Lohr engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Kurt. Thanks also, Kathleen Stevenson, KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a full report and update on the genocide trial and conviction. A former Guatemalan strongman and close U.S. ally, General Efrain Rios Montt. Also, federal investigators secretly seized 2 months of phone records from AP reporters and editors in what the news agency is calling a serious breach of their constitutional rights, I'd say, I guess. We'll also hear part two of a speech by Jeremy Scahill just in Berkeley recently celebrating Free Speech Radio and Pacifica. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. No other way to put it, an extraordinary thing happened in the world of justice, jurisprudence, human rights last Friday when a Guatemalan judge, Yasmin Barrios, announced to the packed courtroom in Guatemala and to the world the historic verdict finding former Guatemalan dictator Efrain Rios Montt guilty of genocide and crimes against humanity. Then the former goose-stepping general was sentenced by the Guatemalan judge to 80 years in prison. Judge Yasmin Badio stated to the court that the accused, Jose Efrain Rios Montt, is responsible for crimes against humanity committed against the life and integrity of more than 1,700 civilian residents of the villages and hamlets located in Santa Maria, Najab, San Juan, Cotsal, and San Gaspar, Jachul. I think, given the gravity of the crimes, the U.S.-funded mass murderer Rios Montt was found guilty of the, I guess the judge immediately ordered him into detention. I guess they didn't want him going anywhere. Joining us for the next half hour to talk about the significance of this verdict, and it is significant, and how it may open the door to other genocide trials, maybe even to the door of the current president, is Alan Narron. Narron was one of the very few reporters on the ground reporting on the genocide as it was happening in Guatemala back in the 80s, broke many of the early stories of the slaughters and the U.S. support for them. Well, Alan, thanks for joining us again on Flashpoints and for staying with this story all these years.
Well, thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, it's good to really be able to, I guess, celebrate some kind of victory here in the world of human rights for the people. I really am very interested in setting this up in the context of the historical relationship between this general, this government, and the United States. But just very briefly, What exactly happened on Friday, and what is the significance?
Well, General Rios Montt, who was the dictator of Guatemala during 82 and 83, was convicted of genocide and crimes against humanity, and he was led away to prison. He was given an 80-year prison sentence, which means he will die in prison. This is the first time that a former head of state has been put on trial by the domestic criminal courts of his own country for genocide. And even more importantly, it's the first time that I'm aware of that a war crimes prosecution of a big general or head of state has been brought from below by the people who are out of power. So many of these prosecutions, starting with